Success and its pitfalls, from 1 Samuel 18. David was successful, it says, in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. Now, Jonathan and David became inseparable friends. And it's great to have someone you can confide in, who will never betray you and never seek to upstage. Some have questioned whether Jonathan would readily step aside for David, but not all heir apparents wish to fulfill the role that others feel they are destined for. Richard Cromwell, Oliver Cromwell's son, was not too troubled when Britain didn't wish him to continue after his father's death. But if you're going to be a great person, you need great friends. And Jonathan was making a covenant with David. And this was no ordinary friendship. He was handing over his prince's garment to David. He was prepared to say, like John the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. There will always be someone who can achieve more than we are able to. That's not the issue. Have they the call and the anointing of God on their life? David had that, and Jonathan knew it. Now, originally, Saul had affection for David. It says in 1 Samuel 16, and David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. The difference was that Saul loved David for what he was receiving from him. It was not the same with Jonathan. He loved David for who he was, not what he could do. Much of David's life was affected by his friendships, both good ones and bad. And we can learn from his life and search our hearts for the reason for our choice of friends and colleagues. In that same chapter of 18, it says that Saul developed a jealous eye. It says, so Saul eyed David from that day on, avan, a Hebrew word to look with suspicion. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 7, it says the scribes and the Pharisees watched Jesus, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, and that they might find an accusation against him. It was the critical look. It was to check up if Jesus slipped up. Success can produce enemies as well as false friends. We must beware of the jealous eye on us, as well as ensuring that we do not become envious of others. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus spoke of the evil eye. It is usually translated envy in modern versions. It is not only what comes out of our mouths, it is also how we look at different things and different people as well. It can become sinful. Saul's medicine ceased to work. It says, the next day an evil spirit from God rushed on Saul and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre. The root of an illness has to be dealt with. Saul had only sought to deal with the symptoms, and now it was reaching a critical stage. I wonder if we have a weakness in our lives that needs surgery, not just a sticking plaster. Jesus put it plainly in Matthew 5. So if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose a part of your body than to have it all thrown into hell. Jeremiah said that sometimes we need something more than sticking plaster to heal the wound. Just as some would say, have a nice day, when much more help is needed than a passing wish. J. John the Evangelist tells the story of a psychiatrist. Before he discharged a patient, he would check them out by overflowing a sink with running water. The psychiatrist would then hand them a mop and a bucket and then ask them to clear up the water. If they turned off the water tap and pulled out the plug in the sink before trying to mop up the water, they were discharged because they dealt with the source of the problem. We must find the source of the problem and not just seek to clear up symptoms. Let's look into ourselves and sort it all out. And the Lord be with you today and bless you greatly. Amen.